I want to sing just a few, sing a few. I don't want to sing. I want to share a few thoughts this morning, and I could actually share longer this morning because I thought we would be pressed for time, and so we might be getting out of here at 10 o'clock. I don't know. The choir might have to sing their songs twice. But it's good to be here this morning on Easter. We gathered together on Easter sunrise service and had breakfast, a great breakfast, and a great time together. And I want to just share a few little statements from that I shared today. But, we always talk about kids, and I love kids. Yesterday, we were able to have a little bit of an Easter egg hunt for our grandchildren, and we hid them inside. It was sort of horrible outside, and there's a lot of toys strewn all around the place. And I did not think that they would find all the eggs and the candy, but you know, kids have a way to sniff out chocolate. And they found every single one, and there was none left over that I could go to and say, "You forgot this one here," and pluck it in my mouth. But anyway, I think about a church program, and 5-year-old Brian had a key part in the Easter morning worship service. He was an angel, and his part was merely to say, "He is not here, he is risen." Well, during the production, of course, kids sometimes get stage fright, and so he got up there on stage, and it came time for him to say, "He is not here, he is risen," and he couldn't remember his line. Couldn't remember the simple line, "He is not here, he is risen." And so the director prompted him as to what to say. He confidently grabbed the microphone and shouted into that, "He is not here, he's in prison." And I want to say, I love that last song that we sang because it says, "He tore the bars away. He's broken the chains, he's alive. It could not hold him, you know, hostage, because Jesus Christ is alive." Today, this morning, we looked at does the resurrection matter? And we touched on a few points, theological points about the resurrection and what it means to us. But applicably, what it means is that, as I said, you know, our past can be forgiven. Bill and Gloria Gaither sang that song that we all love, "Because He Lives." I can do what face tomorrow. But sometimes it's not the tomorrows that we're concerned about. It's our yesterdays. It's the failures that we have committed, you know, the problems and the bumblings of our lives and the guilt that we bear. And so I want to say that our past can be forgiven and the guilt can be taken away. Jesus Christ deals with all of our mess ups, and he dealt with them on the cross of Calvary. He also, I said that he secures our future, and then of course he helps us to also manage our present because we have so many problems. And I want to tell you, we've had some very stressful weeks. I have, and I know that you have, in the past several weeks. And I'm so glad that God gives me the strength and the power and the ability to make it through those tough times. Now, I want to just say this morning three other truths about the resurrection and why Easter matters to us. First of all, I want to say this. If Christ is not risen, Paul says, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. If Christ has not been raised, everything that we do here today is worthless. It's all fruitless. It comes to naught. If Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You're still in your sins. But if you remember sitting down in that English class, and you remember that little conjunction that said, "but," how many of you remember that? "But now Christ is risen from the dead." And that makes all the difference in the world. Jesus Christ is alive. The grave no longer holds him. So let me say these three things. One, if Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, then anybody can come. I got to thinking about this as a teenager, and we've sang it here, but it's not in our hymnal right now. But how many remember the song, "Whosoever will may come"? You know, shout the sound, "Whosoever will may come. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life." So whosoever will, anybody can come to him and have a personal relationship with him. Now, who were the first ones who actually came to that tomb? You know, it was the women. The women. You can't trust women. I mean, they say things they shouldn't say, right? Well, that's what they thought in those days, and sometimes we think that today. But it was the women who came to the tomb on that first Sunday morning. And you really couldn't trust women because in those days, women were considered down here, men were considered up here. And yet all the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, tell us that the women came to the tomb first on that early Sunday morning. And who were those women? Well, they were women with a shameful past. They were women who had scandals attached to their names, people like Mary Magdalene. They came to that tomb and they witnessed the stone rolled away, and they witnessed that Jesus Christ had been raised. Jesus meets, of course, Mary in the garden and says to her, Mary, and she recognizes him. And then he says, I want you to go and tell my brothers. And who are they? I want you to go to my disciples, the ones who walked with me. And who are they? Well, yeah, it's Peter, James, John, you know, all the disciples. We know them by name. But who are they? They are the ones who betrayed him. They are the ones who denied him. They are the ones who hightailed out of danger because they didn't want to be associated with Jesus. You know the Jesus, don't you? No, I don't know him. And yet he says, I want you to go and I want you to tell them also. You know, we have a tendency to love winners in life. And if the most tragic thing you can say to a child is, you're a loser. But Jesus loves winners and he loves losers. He loves those who have succeeded and he loves those who have failed. He loves those who are good and he loves those who are bad. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. And so anybody can actually come to Jesus Christ. They're all welcome. Everybody is welcome. He ministered among the tax collector, the sinners, the prostitutes. Anybody is welcome to come to Jesus Christ because he makes all things new. Secondly, if Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, a relationship is possible. Steve mentioned that, you know, we're different from all the other religions of the world, and we are. Every other religion says you have to follow this rule, you have to abide by this rule, and when I look at Christianity, I say this, God has given us rules or regulations, but he says you can't keep them, but I'll keep them for you. Isn't that good news? He keeps the rules for me. He keeps the regulations for me. He does for me what I cannot do for myself. When those women saw Jesus that early Christmas morning, I don't know why I keep talking about Christmas, Easter morning, you know, what we find is that they wanted to reach out and grab a hold of him. And we all know that in the Old Testament, they could not even enter into the presence of God. Why? Because there was a separation between God and sinful humanity. We all had sinned and fallen far short of the glory of God. Yet, on the day that Jesus Christ was crucified, it says that the veil was rent in two. The veil in the temple was torn in two. The veil that separated the presence of God from the people were actually split in two, torn in two, and now we can enter fully into the throne room. We can come into the presence of God, and we can now call him our Abba Daddy Father. We can now call him our God in heaven. He has a personal relationship with us. He belongs to us. We belong to him. He is our Lord. He is our brother. He is our God. And we can have a personal, intimate relationship, just as we have a relationship with one another. It's not based upon rules and rule keeping. Jesus Christ has done it all. And here's the third one I want to share this morning, and this is the one that means the most to me. If Jesus Christ is risen from the dead, then there are no dead ends. There are no dead ends. On the day that Christ rose from the dead, he ministered to his disciples. He stayed with them for about 40 days. Then he gathered them together on a place called the Mount of Olives, which was across from the temple. And he said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then he tells them he wants them to go into all the world and preach the gospel and teach all people that Jesus Christ is Lord, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And then he says this, lo, I am with you always, even to the very end of the world. Some translations say, I'm with you to the very end of the age. And some say merely, I'm with you to the very end. I love that. I love that. It means there's no dead ends. I think about a man who was crossing the street one day. And as he was crossing the street, he was hit by an automobile. He was stricken, fell to the pavement, and he hit his head on the pavement and fell into unconsciousness. He was in a coma for 3 days. And his wife was in the hospital there sitting beside him. And when he awoke, he discovered that his wife, Judy, was sitting there beside him holding his hand. And he said, oh, Judy, you've been there with me all along. He says, Judy, you know, I'm so grateful for you. Judy, he said, you know, Judy, when I was a struggling college student, I failed time and time again. I failed in this class. I failed in that class. But Judy, you were there with me to encourage me. And then Judy, when I graduated from college, I said, I went out for all these interviews. And I went to this interview and they wouldn't hire me. And I went to this interview and they wouldn't hire me. And everywhere I went, but Judy, you cut out all the classifieds for me. And then, Judy, I found a job. And it was a tremendous job. And I had a big name contract, a big name person. But one day I made a mistake, Judy, and I lost that contract and I got fired. But Judy, you were with me. And then he says, then Judy, I finally got the present job that I have. And he says, I've been working this job, haven't never gotten a promotion, I've never gotten a raise, But Judy, you've been with me through it all. Of course, she begins to tear up from all of his confessions about how he's so appreciative of her being with her, him. And then he says, but Judy, he says, you know, I've now had this accident. And I've been in a coma now for about, 3 days? And when I awake, Judy, you're the first person that I see. And then he says, Judy, I think you're just plain bad luck. Now, you know, sometimes we treat God that way, do we not? We treat God that way. God has been with us through the mountains and through the valleys. He's been with us in the good times and the bad. And somewhere along the line, you know, we have a tendency to say, God, what is this all about? God, I'm at the end of my rope. God, you know, God, would you please help me? You know, I'm a pastor, and you know, pastors are not to have any problems, but I have a lot of problems as well. And I was coming home from the hospital in Fort Wayne a couple of weeks ago after seeing my dad, and I was driving down State Road 1. And all of a sudden, this thought came to my mind. I said, man, wait, man, God, you know, I don't quite understand this. God, it seems like everything I've prayed for, the exact opposite has happened. Has that ever happened to you? And then all of a sudden, God began to say, you know what? Even though you might have that tendency of doubt, I want you to know, continue to pray even though you doubt. Continue to pray even though you have that tinge of skepticism and unbelief. Remember the person who says, I believe, help thou my unbelief? Know this, Dennis, I am with you always to the very end of the world, and I am there to give you the strength that you need. And I stop and I think about how the saying is, when you get to the end of your rope, you tie a knot and hang on. Friends, we don't have to tie a knot and hang on. We have a Savior, a resurrected Savior, who hangs on to us, who holds us when we get to the end of our rope. Amen? I mean, I think about the Apostle John. In fact, all the disciples. If you look at all the disciples, after he gave that commission, they went out and they began to establish the church. They began to preach the gospel. But we all know that every one of those disciples met their death in a very violent way. Some were crucified. Some were boiled in oil. Some were beheaded. Some were imprisoned. John, the Apostle John, was sentenced to an isle called Patmos. And today you can visit Patmos and visit all the gift shops there on that little bitty island about 4 foot square in the Aegean Sea. But in John's day, it was a penal colony, a salt island where people were imprisoned. I think about the Count of Monte Cristo or the rock Alcatraz. I mean, no one was going to escape from the rock. And here he is, sentenced to Patmos, working in the salt mines, his life being torn from him bit by bit, day by day, suffering because he dared to name a name of Jesus. And on a Sunday, on the day that we remember that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, on the Lord's day, the book of Revelation says, he saw the Lord high and lifted up. He saw the Lord sitting upon his throne. And he caught a glimpse of what was happening in the past, the present, and what will be. And he began to understand that, yes, I don't understand it all, but I do know this, that my God is still in charge because my God has been raised from the dead. We serve a risen Savior. You see, we don't always understand the circumstances of life. John writes this book of Revelation that some of us get very spooked about because we don't understand it. He wrote it primarily as a word of encouragement to those Christians in his day who were dealing with tough things. And you're going to deal with tough things in your life. I deal with tough things in my life, but the Bible tells me there are no dead ends. When I get to the end of my rope, my God, my resurrected Savior, he holds me. And nobody, and I say nobody, is going to pluck me from those nail-scarred hands of his. He is risen from the dead. You know, we all have our Good Friday experiences, but Easter comes, resurrection comes, Sunday comes. Jesus Christ reigns. He rules, he is risen, just as he said. Every word that he has told us in this book we call the Bible, we can stand upon because it's secure. It's historical fact. It is solidified by his resurrection from the dead.